Amen. Well, this evening we're continuing our Bible story series with a focus on the day when the prophet Daniel was cast into the den of lions. And with this as the focus, let's open our Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. Here we find the prophet Daniel. He's recounting the events that led up to the day when he was cast into that lion's den. And as you make your way to the sixth chapter of Daniel, I should take a moment to remind you about the backstory of this book. The book of Daniel actually begins with the Babylonian invasion into Jerusalem. This actually took place in the third year of Jehoiakim's reign over Judah. In other words, it was 605 BC when King Nebuchadnezzar, he was the king of Babylon, he came to Jerusalem and he besieged it. He invaded Jerusalem. And it was at that point in time when the Israelites who were there in Jerusalem, they were captured and they were carried away to the kingdom of Babylon. And it was there where they became the servants of the Babylonians. This captivity included Daniel, who soon found himself serving in the palace of King Nebuchadnezzar. The prophet Daniel served the king of Babylon for 66 years up until this point in the book. And so from the point in time of his captivity up until the day that he found himself being cast into the lion's den, it was 66 years. And it was 539 BC when the king of Persia, whose name was Cyrus, he conquered the kingdom of Babylon. And so Nebuchadnezzar gives way to the Persian and the Mede invasion. And King Cyrus, the king of the Persians, then sent Darius, the king of the Medes, to rule over the people who were there in Babylon. And it was at that point in time when King Darius established his position by appointing a hierarchy of leaders over the Babylonian Empire. And this hierarchy of leaders, it included Daniel. Daniel was such an impressive man that King Darius knew that he needed to place him into a position of prominence. And while it's true that Daniel found favor in the eyes of King Darius, it's also true that the rest of the rulers who were appointed to these positions, they didn't like Daniel at all. And the reason why is because Daniel was so awesome. Daniel was so awesome that the rest of the people were just kind of like, this guy's way better than us and we've got to take him out. And so the rest of the rulers, they conspired together against the prophet Daniel. And as a result, Daniel ended up being cast into the den of lions. Now, with all of this background in mind, let's begin our study of this story, which begins shortly after Darius the Mede took control of Babylon. If you would look with me there at Daniel chapter 6, the verses will be there on the screen. It's there at verse 1 where Daniel writes, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him." Now, here in the beginning of this chapter, we learn about this government, conspiracy there in Babylon, these government officials. They decided that they were going to conspire together so that they could punish the prophet Daniel and just get him out of the way. The reason for this is due to the fact that Daniel, he had an excellent spirit within him. He had an excellent spirit within him. In other words, Daniel showed himself to be an excellent leader, and he showed himself to be more capable than all of his peers. He distinguished himself from all the other leaders. One reason for this is due to the fact that Daniel was a man who was living his life for the glory of God. You can always tell a person when they're living their life for the glory of God. There is something about them that is distinguished from everybody else. And it's for this reason that the Lord empowered Daniel with all the wisdom that he needed. Here's this prophet. He's serving God with all of his heart. He's seeking the Lord in the way that he should. And so God gives him an extra measure of excellence. The Lord empowers Daniel with all the wisdom that he needed to accomplish his leadership position, though he had been captured as a young man and raised as a slave in the palace of the king, and yet he was wiser than everyone else around him. Why? Well, because the Lord blessed him with the wisdom. This reminds me of something that King David wrote in the 119th Psalm. There he declares, "You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts." Now, as we consider what King David was saying, it's important to understand that those who will walk in the truth of the Lord's word will receive all the wisdom that they need as the Lord enables us to accomplish our calling. If you want to be distinguished and set apart, and if you want all the wisdom that you need to make all the decisions that you need to make each and every day, serve the Lord and read his word and understand what the word of God says. And as you do, he will give you the wisdom that you need. It's for this reason that the prophet Daniel was more capable to lead than those who had been given the same position. He embraced the word of God, he knew what God's word said, and he aligned his life to the word of God. Therefore, he was wiser than all the other leaders. Sadly, the excellent qualities which enabled him to excel in his position, these were the same excellent qualities that aroused the anger of those who were conspiring against him. And while it's true that Darius was preparing to set Daniel over the entire realm of Babylon, it's also true that Daniel's peers were conspiring against him so that he might be removed from this position. And in light of this, there should be no doubt in our minds that there are evil people in government positions who are conspiring together against the people of God. I have no doubt about this. We see it here in the book of Daniel. We see it actually throughout all the scriptures. There were government officials at the time of Christ conspiring against him. And I have no doubt that there's government officials today conspiring against the church. The most recent example that I'm aware of was seen last Friday, May the 29th, as five members of the Supreme Court decided to ignore the First Amendment as they upheld the governor of California's limitations on every house of worship. Now, just for the sake of clarity, it'll help you to remember that the First Amendment of our Constitution says this. It says, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances." Now, as we look at this amendment, the very First Amendment, we should notice the word "no." Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. It doesn't say Congress can make some laws. It doesn't say some laws are okay respecting an establishment of religion. And listen, this amendment doesn't include a pandemic provision. It just doesn't. It doesn't allow the government the right to restrict church attendance if they decide, well, it's necessary because of a pandemic. And yet, that's what they're doing. Five members of our highest court are using this pandemic as a reason to ignore the First Amendment and even support laws that are opposed to it. Now, if you want to assemble in a non-peaceable way, they'll let you go do that. You know, you can go ahead and write all you want. But if you want to peaceably assemble at a church, oh no, we can't have that. No. In this way, they're conspiring together with the governor of California, who's decided to restrict the rights of every church there in the state of California. And it's not right. This is just one example of the way in which the leaders on the extreme left are conspiring together against the church. Well, I have no doubt that there are government officials who are conspiring to control the Christian church. I would encourage every Christian to follow in the footsteps of Daniel. Daniel presents us with the right example for how we deal with this. And with this as the focus, let's pick up our study of Daniel chapter 6. Here we find this conspiracy against Daniel unfolding. And if you would look with me there, we'll pick up our study of Daniel 6 there at verse 5. Here we learn that these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever. all the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now, here in these verses, you know, we find this group of government officials. They're setting this trap for Daniel. And it's based on a lie, first of all. They're saying, hey, all the governors agree with this. Well, not all the governors agreed with it. Daniel didn't agree with it. And yet they're pretending as if Daniel had agreed with this. But these government officials, they set this trap based on this conspiracy. And they were certain that this trap would result in the punishment of God's prophet. Those men knew that this new law, which forbid any man from, you know, praying to their God or appealing to any man for 30 days. It was 15 days at first, and then it was 30 days. And then after the 30 days, they're going to extend it out for another 2 years, you know. I'm getting confused with another situation. But these guys knew that this law wouldn't stop Daniel from spending time in prayer. These guys knew that Daniel was going to continue to pray, and this is the trap that they're setting. The reason why is due to the fact that they knew all about Daniel's daily devotion. They knew that Daniel prayed 3 times a day. We find the evidence of this daily devotion right here in our text tonight. If you would look with me there at Daniel chapter 6, I want to draw your attention there to verse 10. Here we learn that that Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Now here in these verses, we learn about the daily devotion of Daniel. The prophet of God prayed 3 times a day as he faced towards the capital city of Jerusalem. Now, it wasn't necessary for him to face Jerusalem. And yet, I believe that he was helping others to see that he wasn't just praying to any god there in Babylon. You know, Babylon had all kinds of gods. And he wanted it to be known that he wasn't just praying to any Babylonian god. No, he was facing towards Jerusalem, which was his way of presenting everyone that saw him, with an understanding that he's praying to the God of Israel. It's also important to note that Daniel wasn't about to submit to this new law. He wasn't about to take off 30 days from praying. No. Daniel defied this law by continuing to pray, and he prayed with his windows open. Now think about that for a moment, because Daniel could have closed the blinds of his window. He could have. God could still hear him with the blinds of his windows closed. He could have avoided punishment by praying in the privacy of his own home. He could have had a private faith, as some might like to call it. But he didn't. He continued to pray according to the custom that he had since early days or since his childhood. Despite the 30-day restriction required by King Darius, according to the conspiracy of the other government officials, he ignored it all. And he said, no, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray with the window open. Now, in light of his example, I encourage every Christian to understand that we've been called to submit to the authorities of human government, Romans chapter 13, so long as the laws of our government are in line with biblical instructions, which the Lord has given for his church. We should completely submit to the authorities, of human government until human government begins to pass laws that are in opposition to the word of God. We must oppose every law that would lead us to sin against the truth of God's word. This reminds me of the situation that the apostles found themselves in after they were arrested for going out and preaching the gospel. It's actually in Acts chapter 5 where we learn about the day when they were brought in before the authorities of Israel's Supreme Court. If you would look with me there, beginning at Acts chapter 5 verse 27, here Luke writes, "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Christian, listen, we ought to be law-abiding citizens who are happy to submit to the government. That is, until the day when the law of the land is in conflict with the truth of God's word. If our government ever prohibits the preaching of God's word, then we should follow in the footsteps of the apostles by continuing to preach. If our government ever prohibits the spiritual discipline of prayer, then we should follow in the footsteps of Daniel by continuing to pray every day. And if our government ever prohibits the peaceful assembly of the church, then we should follow in the footsteps of the first century church by continuing to assemble together so that we can stir up love and good works. And listen, this is a stand that we should take even if these decisions result in our certain punishment. Now, with this in mind, let's consider Daniel's example found here in Daniel chapter 6. If you would look with me there, beginning at verse 11. Here we read, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, now, O king, that it is the law, or no, O king, I should say, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Here in these verses, we find the conspirators calling for the punishment of Daniel. And it was at that point in time when King Darius realized that he had been duped. He had been duped into passing this decree, and it's for this reason that he did everything that he could to legally pardon the prophet Daniel. He labored until that evening trying to find a way, a loophole. According to the law of the Medes and the Persians, he was looking for a loophole so that he could free Daniel. But there was no such loophole in the law. And as we consider the way that King Darius looked for this loophole, which would free the prophet Daniel from this punishment, it seems to me that Darius was beginning to believe in the God of Daniel. I don't know that he was ready to confess that he himself was also a servant of the Lord, but Darius here is quick to confess that Daniel's God was able to deliver him from the lions. At the same time, King Darius also realized that there was no legal way for him to save Daniel from the lion's den. With this in mind, let's pick up our study of Daniel chapter 6. If you would look with me there at verse 17, here we learn that a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now, here in this verse, we learn about the way in which the legal decree of King Darius resulted in the condemnation of Daniel. And in light of this, it's important to understand that the purpose of the law is the condemnation of those who break the law. That's what the law is designed to do, to condemn lawbreakers. And that's bad news for every person because we're all guilty of breaking the law. We've all broken the laws of God. And the law, because of what it's designed to do, condemns us. Much like King Darius, who looked for a loophole for Daniel, the king of heaven and earth, he is a just judge who must punish every single sin, and yet I believe that he wants to provide us with a loophole. We're all sinners, this is true, But it's also true that the law of the Lord actually condemns every single one of us to be cast into the lion's den. With that being the case, we can rejoice in knowing that the Lord has, in fact, provided a loophole so that every sinner can be saved. Now, with this as the focus, I want to consider the way that the Lord ended up saving Daniel from those lions. If you would, let's turn our attention back to Daniel chapter 6. Look with me, we'll pick up our study beginning at verse 18. Here we learn that the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. You see, they didn't have, they didn't have iPods back then. They had to actually bring in musicians. But so no musicians were brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Now the king was exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. Now here in these verses, we learn about the way that the Lord saved Daniel from the lions who were in the lion's den. And in order to understand how incredible this miracle was, it's important for us to understand that lions need to eat every single day. You know, some of us might go on diets, some of us might fast a day or two. Lions don't fast. They eat. And they eat every day. A fully grown female lion needs to eat about 11 pounds of meat each day. Think about that, 11 pounds of meat. Adult male lions will eat 16 pounds or more every single day. I should also remind you that the den of lions, it was actually designed as a way to punish criminals. I'm guessing it was probably like the Rancor pit that Jabba the Hutt used to punish Luke Skywalker in Return of the Jedi. You know, I can imagine that, you know, King Darius has his throne, and, you know, right below him, he can look down and see, you know, criminals being devoured by lions. And I'm guessing those lions in that den weren't well fed. I'm guessing they were all a little bit hungry and waiting for the next criminal. I'm guessing they were always happy to eat whatever was cast there into that dungeon. Thankfully for Daniel, his faith in the Lord resulted in his salvation from those hungry lions. As a matter of fact, look with me again there in the middle of verse 23. There we learn that Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him. Why? Because he believed in his God. Because he believed in his God. Daniel believed in God. Therefore, the Lord sent an angel to close the mouths of those lions. And in this way, we can see how the Lord is able to save those who trust in him, even from, you know, from an unrighteous judgment like what Daniel was suffering, but also from a righteous condemnation that's required by the law of the Lord. The Lord can save us from it. I like the way that Paul put it in Romans chapter 8. There he declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who trust, who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." In other words, the law of God can no longer condemn those who trust in Christ Jesus. And the reason why is due to the fact that the Lord Jesus has fulfilled the law for us. He's fulfilled the law on our behalf. Not only that, but Jesus, well, he was also condemned in our place. The condemnation of the law that should rest on us, well, it actually rested on Jesus there on the cross. And in this way, he might be just and the justifier of those who trust in him. And finally, it's important for us to understand how the Lord is able to protect us from the evil enemy who is seeking to devour us. This reminds me of something that Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5. It's there where he declares, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like what? Like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Here in these verses, we find Peter, he's comparing the devil to a hungry lion who's trying to devour us. Thankfully for us, there is a God in heaven who is able to close the mouth of this lion. Those who trust in Jesus Christ can rejoice in knowing that the Lord has closed the mouth of this lion for those who trust in him. He's closed the mouth of the lion. Not only that, but he's defanged and declawed the devil and his demons. Yeah, the devil is like a lion. Yet for the Christian, it's a defanged, declawed kitty cat. We don't have to fear the devil anymore. Why? Because we're in Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, the devil can't harm us. Let's consider the way that Paul put it here in Colossians chapter 2. Here we learn that Jesus has wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. That's a reference to the law. He's wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And so, in other words, he's dealt with the law. And not only that, but he's also dealt with the roaring lion. Look at verse 15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Jesus Christ is our legal loophole, who frees us from the condemnation of the law and then closes the mouth of the lion. He's disarmed the demons. He's defanged and declawed the devil. And therefore, we no longer have to worry about the enemy. Those who trust in Jesus can take a stand, even in the lion's den, as we submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's consider how James puts it in the fourth chapter of his epistle. There he instructs every Christian to submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. According to James, those who will simply submit to the Lord are also given the strength to take a stand against the roaring lion. We're able to take a stand against the enemy. Therefore, I encourage every Christian, let's follow in the footsteps of Daniel. Let's walk by faith as we submit our lives to the Lord in the midst of this crooked world. Let's continue to serve the Lord here at our fellowship of faith. And yes, even if our obedience to the Lord lands us in the lion's den. I want to remind you that our Savior, he's defanged the devil, he's declawed this roaring lion, and therefore there's nothing for us to fear. Not only that, but listen, the King of Kings has also promised to punish those who will not submit to him. Therefore, it's always better for believers to face our fears, even in the lion's den. It's always better to face our fears in the lion's den than to face the righteous wrath of the one who's able to destroy both body and soul in the fires of hell. Now, with this as the focus, let's pick up our study of the events that transpired after Daniel was rescued from the lion's den. If you would look with me there at Daniel chapter 6, I want to focus your attention on verse 24. Here we learn that the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Yeah, those lions were hungry. Those lions were hungry. And we find King Darius, he's punishing the political leaders who had conspired against Daniel, and he's punishing those who had tricked him into entrapping the prophet Daniel. And it's sad to say that the judicial system of the ancient Persians, well, according to that system, the entire family would be punished for the guilt of the father. That's the way their judicial system worked. Everyone in the family would end up being punished, and in this way, the people were discouraged from committing any sort of crime. We might look at that and say, well, that's unjust, and based on what would we say that? how would we say that that's not true justice or that's unjust? You know, we can look at different criminal systems and argue that that's just, that's not just. But listen, in order to say that this is just or that's not just, we have to have a standard of true justice. And regardless of whether we agree with Darius' decision to punish the entire family, we can look at that and say, that's not just. But the fact of the matter is this, that every society attempts to establish some form of justice. Doesn't mean that every society gets it right. And if you think that this was not, a good way to establish justice, I would agree. I think that this decision to throw the entire family into the lion's den, it was completely unjust. But how do I know that? Well, I know it because I know what God's word says. If you want to know the right way to establish justice, well, then we have to know the God who created justice. And as we look at every society and realize that every society attempts to have some form of justice, we have to ask, well, why is that? Every nation on earth has a judicial system which calls for the correction and the condemnation of criminals. And the reason why, it's due to the fact that we've been created by a just God who has promised to punish the unrepentant. This was precisely the point that King David was making in the 7th Psalm, where he declares, "My defense is of God who saves the upright in heart. God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day." Grasp that for a moment. God is a just judge, and he is angry with the wicked every day. Now, I get it. There's a lot of people who want to go out into the world and just tell everybody, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. And Jesus does love us. And also, God is a just judge, and he's angry with the wicked every day. God is a just judge, and not only that, but he's also promised to punish every unrepentant unbeliever. And seeing how we all deserve the righteous wrath of God because we're all sinners, I encourage every person, cry out to the Lord for mercy so that we can escape the everlasting justice that the Lord has promised to pour out on the day of judgment. That day is coming. And the only people who will escape that day of judgment are those who trust in Jesus Christ. And so if you're an unbeliever here tonight, or if you're an unbeliever watching online, I encourage you, repent, trust in Jesus Christ so that you can escape the righteous wrath of a just God. At the same time, I also encourage every Christian to take a bold stand with our Savior Jesus so that the people around us might also embrace our Savior as they see the way that we serve him. And with this as the goal, I want to consider the way that Daniel's life ended up making an impression on King Darius. And with this as the focus, let's consider the final section of Daniel chapter 6, which now includes a letter from King Darius. Look with me there, beginning at verse 25. Here Daniel writes, Then King Darius wrote, "To all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions?" So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now, here in the final verses of this chapter, we find King Darius, he's presenting us with his profession of faith. It's also interesting to note that the Lord probably used the faith of King Darius to encourage King Cyrus, the Persian king, to go ahead and release the Israelites from their captivity. Now think about that for a moment. The Lord allowed evil leaders in the government there in Babylon to conspire against the prophet Daniel, and as a result, Daniel was cast into the lion's den. God allowed all that to happen. And as a result, King Darius was then able to witness the way in which the Lord saved his servant Daniel. And then after considering the character of Daniel, coupled with the power that saved Daniel there in the lion's den, King Darius ends up trusting in the God of Daniel, and he becomes this powerful evangelist who then goes on to present this profession of faith. And not only that, but he has influence there in the life of King Cyrus, who then turns around and releases the Israelites from their slavery. Now, as we consider the way that the Lord used the prophet Daniel in the lion's den, and as we consider the way that the Lord used all of this to make a huge impact on the world, I encourage every Christian to realize that the Lord always has a purpose in the persecutions that he allows. He does. He has a purpose in the persecution that he allows. In this situation, we see how the lion's den results then in the freedom of Israel. Therefore, rather than attempting to stop evil leaders who are conspiring against the Christian church and focusing so much of our time and energy on exposing the, you know, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Let's follow in the footsteps of Daniel by faithfully serving the Lord according to his great commission. He's commissioned us to preach the gospel. Lead people to Jesus. Because that is the solution. And as we do, the Lord will reveal his glory and his power as he helps us to reach the unbelievers around us. I like the way that Paul put it in Colossians chapter 4. It's there where he declares, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Much like the prophet Daniel, Paul recognized, first of all, the power of prayer and the importance of praying to the Lord. Paul also realized that the Lord was able to use his chains for the glory of God. Paul didn't complain about his chains. Paul didn't complain about his imprisonment. But rather he saw it as an opportunity for the gospel. And it's for this reason that Paul encouraged every Christian to walk by faith regardless of the situation. He encouraged every Christian to walk by faith in the wisdom of God so that we can use the time that we have to lead the lost to the Lord. That's why he tells us to redeem the time. We need to redeem the time. We don't have much time. And there's a whole lot of unbelievers around us who are headed for hell. Let's redeem the time. Let's walk in the wisdom of God. And as we do, the unbelievers around us will see how God works in our lives. They'll see the power of God in our lives as we serve him. And much like Daniel had an influence there on Darius, we too will have an influence on the unbelievers around us. With this as the goal, let's remember that there are times when the Lord allows us to stand in the lion's den. And he allows us to stand in the lion's den so that the unbelievers around us might see his power in the way that he saves us. That being the case, I encourage you, let's continue to draw near to God. Let's continue to serve our Savior, even in the midst of the lion's den. And in this way, he will reveal his almighty power through the victory that he gives us as we continue to walk by faith with him. Let's pray.